Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to a Thursday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, our favorite Husker and NFLer, Jeremiah Searles in studio, Elijah Herbal. So I am surrounded by two linemen. Searles, this winter coat you have.
Don't hate.
No, I love it. It's Carhartt.
Yes.
But the thing's a tent.
Dude, it's fantastic. It's going to be cold in Minnesota.
I know.
It's cold here.
We got the Griswold truckster packed up. We are embarking on a trip to the land of Skull.
Mm.
And we'll be broadcasting live tomorrow from the Graduate just near the Gopher Stadium, TCF Bank Stadium. We are two blocks from that. We are on the air tomorrow, 4 to 6, at the Graduate in Minneapolis. 3 to 5 Saturday for the pregame show, and then Real Red Reaction commences. Elijah Herbal is along for the ride in studio for that. Elijah, you bump into all these guys that wear mouthpieces and helmets. Do you care to share any dirt? Who's been to class? Who's been to practice this week?
I'm not going to expose anybody right now.
That's a no comment. That's a no comment. I love your loyalty.
I do have a comment, though. And you opened the show saying that we had our favorite Husker and NFL player here today, but I don't see Rex Burkhead in there.
Wow. You realize I am 10 feet away from you, and that door will not hold me back.
There's glass in between us. Yeah. I'm confident for a second.
Okay. He won't go through the glass.
I'll go through the door. I'll put you through the glass, but then I'll go through the door.
I thought you were injured.
Still enough to take you.
Does he just give it to you like this?
It's like my little brother, dude. Well, except for I always got in trouble because I just beat my little brother up.
Your little brother's a tall dude.
He's tall, but he's small.
Mm-hmm.
He's tall, but he's short.
Yeah. See, well, I'm just going to leave that one alone. Minnesota, Nebraska, PJ Fleck v. Scott Frost, and this is shaping up to be, you know, it's not Switzer Osborne. It's not McCartney.
Maybe not for us. It might be for them.
Well, my point here is you've got a unique personality in Mr. Row the Boat.
That's a nice way to say it.
Okay. Well, listen, we can't completely unload on Fleck yet.
Know.
We need to at least be within earshot of him.
I know.
Right? Let's at least invite, you know, he was invited on this week, and he's a busy dude, so we thank him for his time at Big Ten Media Days. But, no, Minnesota, listen, they're in year three. They're 5-0 somehow. And they've got a monster game for them.
Huge.
They don't beat a depleted Nebraska team. Does this kind of upset their apple cart? Because they close with Penn State and Iowa back-to-back, and then they finish out November 30th against Wisconsin. So right now, 5-0 could still end 8-4, 9-3. Or is it a year where they do get to 10 wins, and that doesn't happen at all. Glenn Mason's the last dude to sniff that. He was great. And then since, you know, Jerry Kill was phenomenal. He never got to 10, but he was a damn good 9-3 every year. Fleck is, he's flipped the roster. He's got a young group that took their lumps. Does this sound familiar? A young group that took their lumps in year two. And they're poised and looking good. And for the future, mind you, as young as his offensive line and as young as his quarterback is, really talented wideouts as well. I mean, they're a team on the rise right now. This is a big hurdle for them because of the name of Nebraska. They got rocked by Nebraska last year. But Fleck did get kind of a signature look. I can coach when they embarrassed Nebraska back in 17.
Yeah, and I think that you're exactly on the point that this game for them means much more than it does for Nebraska. I think they're going to be
still huge.
It's
for Nebraska,
a big game for Nebraska, and absolutely. But I think that these guys have been getting preached all week of this is a national scale game for us. Like regardless of our opponent, you go to 6-0. People are going to start talking about you in the national scale. And talking to some guys around the stadium, that they're like, man, the hype up there is really real for these guys. A night game at home, a chance to be 6-0. I mean, I expect this stadium to be rocking, and their offense is what scares me the most about them. I mean, they got Johnson and Bateman on the outside. Both these dudes have 4 and 5 touchdowns. Johnson, I believe, is averaging over 100 yards a game receiving. I mean, these dudes are extremely talented. And so, I mean, Boodle and Jackson got to get in there. But I think you're right. P.J. Fleck, he's taken his lumps. He's moved his way through the ranks as far as, hey, this is my style. This is what I want. I want to row the boat. And he gets up there, and guys have bought in. As cheesy as it might be, guys have bought in. And they understand what he wants. They understand what they need, what he expects out of them. And you're seeing it because they're 5-0. But it wasn't an easy 5-0. I mean, these dudes have been down against South Dakota State and come back. These guys have been, like, they haven't found ways to win in the fourth quarter when it's hard.
The tight wins for Fleck against a group of five squads, Fresno State, that double overtime, the miracle, and it wasn't Hail Mary miracle, but it was still, they about dropped it, the Georgia Southern. South Dakota State's a good football team. Fresno State's a good football team. They were up big against, you want to talk about depleted, Purdue.
Yep.
Look that up. That's the definition. Purdue equals depleted. They were up 31-17 on the Boilers and held on for dear life. So this is interesting here when you look at crossovers and schedule in this round robin you get in the West. Wisconsin's got some challenges. They've got Sparty still. They host Sparty. They go to Ohio State. They still come to Lincoln. Wisconsin, what do? Are they going to Iowa this year or not? I think they go to Iowa.
Iowa.
Wisconsin, as good as they've looked, they still have a minimum maybe 2 losses on the schedule. Iowa has a chance to get back and get right. They played well enough to win against Michigan.
Oh, my gosh.
At least they did defensively.
Right.
So they host Penn State, who's undefeated this weekend. Still got to play Nebraska, still have to play Minnesota, still have to play Wisconsin. And then there's Nebraska right now just scraping along, bless their soul.
They're treading water. I mean, right now we're in this sink or swim phase of our season. And being depleted, if we don't have Adrian, if we don't have JD, I mean, it's going to be a hard-fought game. The weather might play a big factor in here. But it's going to be one of those things where this is a turning point for both these teams going into this back half of the season.
Well, think about Nebraska. I mean, think about if they find a way, and I think they'll go play well. They got to go execute, and we'll hear from Coach Frost here in just a few moments. But they've got to go do it and do it well Saturday. I think they've practiced well this week. I think they've practiced well a lot of the weeks. It comes down to getting the job done on Saturday and doing 4 quarters of football, and that's been a very popular talking point this week, but you haven't seen it from Nebraska. They've turned it on in the fourth quarter against Illinois. They had a sick first half against Colorado. They found a way when it looked just hopeless, not because of the personnel, but because of the situation when you're down injury-wise, to beat a team that doesn't screw up, Northwestern, last weekend. So as up and down as this Nebraska football team has been, it wouldn't surprise me if they kind of summon all their powers, right, and go find a way, weather aided, and that could happen. I think Nebraska's defense could be really, really good, really, really big Saturday night. I'm still scared of the offense. Do they get a run game going? Do the snaps get figured out? We'll get into the quarterback situation in a second, but I think the key too is what do you do coverage wise? You're going to get tight end releases. You're going to get crossing routes. Your linebacker's got to be good. Your safety's got to be good. And on the quick throws, are you going to be money tackling in bad weather on the island? Boodle and Lamar have been really awesome. Mm-hmm. But you have not seen wideouts like this since Ohio State. Ohio State's top of the pedestal. Minnesota's right there with their wide receiving core.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that you talked about as far as the execution piece is every coach talks about, okay, from practice, you got to take the thing, the drills you do in individual, take it into the team period. Once you got to take the team period into the game. And I think that that's the disconnect right now. I think they're doing it right in individual. They're doing it right in the team periods. Now, how do they just take that next step and bring it to the game? Because that's the big missing piece. That's the turnovers. That's the false starts. That's the lining up wrong. Like, those are the things that are killing this football team. So they need to do that. And it's kind of like you said, when things start feeling a little uneasy on the outside, people are like, man, you're missing X, Y, Z. It can galvanize a team.
Well, it takes pressure off,
It takes
too.
Pressure off. It galvanizes you a little bit as far as, like, your guys are kind of like, okay, like, I feel this pressure from the outside world. Screw it. We'll just do our thing. We'll come band together. We'll do it. And, like, because all that there's been positive pressure so far for this Husker team, most part, like the hype that was there. Now it's a little bit more of a negative kind of like, and they suck in a little bit. Mm-hmm. As a player, as a group, you suck in a little bit and kind of like band together, especially when you band together like a guy behind maybe Noah, who's going to go in there for quarterback. Like, they'll band together and they'll all want to play better to help him. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for this. I'm excited to see what product they put on the field on Saturday night.
It's Friday night, date night for me, man. I'm already married. Mm-hmm. Been married 1,000 years.
Right.
She knows what she's got. I'm just going to go have a good time.
Exactly.
And maybe it'll be a good Friday night date.
That's what you hope for.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, you're talking about pressure, and the team that's going to have all the pressure is Minnesota, because Minnesota hasn't played a great team this year. And then the 2 weeks after this, they're playing Rutgers and Maryland. Mm-hmm. They get a bye week, and that means they need to win this game to have a chance to be a top 25 matchup against Penn State, who's coming to town the first week of November.
They're ranked now. They'll get ranked in the AP with a win over Nebraska.
Yes.
Minnesota's not so good that they couldn't step up. I mean, no one's going to lose to Rutgers.
Golly.
Right? That's the lock of the millennium. Is right. But Maryland, I mean, Maryland's not what they were the first two games of the year when they smoked Syracuse. But Maryland's still nuts. They still have talent. It's still not an easy game. I'm not looking forward to it between Maryland and Iowa for Nebraska.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's still chances to step on it if you're Minnesota. But this will... this will stop your progress or launch your progress if you're Minnesota. And some folks, some brave souls, said Minnesota's a 10-win football team this year. Most picked them, I think, fifth or sixth in the West.
I see them as possibly winning the West this year. I mean, they could.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at their schedule, Wisconsin's got to come to them, right? I mean, there's a lot of things favorable. They could be staring at Penn State 8-0.
They've got they could go lose at Iowa. Watch out for Northwestern ahead of Wisconsin.
Know.
But, again, that's their close. Penn State at Iowa, at Northwestern, Wisconsin, you have Nebraska here.
Yeah, I mean, so it stacks up favorable for them. Now, college football is all about what team shows up on Saturday.
Good
you
luck.
You just never know, especially in the Big Ten. And then you get later in November, and it's like, okay, well, the weather now plays a huge factor. I mean, I played in that stadium up there. It gets cold in Minnesota, mm-hmm. man. So, I mean, that's the big thing, too.
Hence the tent,
because I will be down on field for the game on Saturday, so I have
the
tent.
You're the good luck charm. You're like Joe Boo from Major League.
I was there when they went up there for the first time under Riley.
Crushed them.
And they went up there and beat the heck out of them. I remember. I was there for that game. That was a lot of fun. And
they beat a Jerry Kill team.
They did.
There.
They beat a Jerry Kill, I think, 8-win team that
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a lot. I mean,
they destroyed them. They housed them.
They housed them. So it's exciting to see. I'm excited to be back. But it worries me that we might be running into a bit of a buzzsaw, too, though. I think there's a chance these dudes come running out ready to roll.
Right. They launch. There's a turnover or two.
You get
the backups in,
mm-hmm.
and they smell blood and sick it. Scott Frost today was asked about Spielman. And Adrian specifically.
Martinez and Spielman make the trip.
We got to go play well.
I love Frost, and Frost was in full.
You hear the pause.
I was in. He Frost was in full. Like, you could just see the tenseness in his body language. Where GD, I got to go do a media session. I'm gonna have 75 questions about the weather. I'm going to have 45 questions about my quarterback. And then, you know, someone's going to try and be funny. That wasn't an attempt at comedy. That was, hey, you know, is JD and Adrian going, listen, let's spend 2 seconds here on the quarterback. And I'm going to throw the headset on because I am worthless with play calling, even worse at development. So I'm going to say who should play quarterback for Nebraska on Saturday. You go with the Pride of Wahoo.
Because
of the weather, because of his confidence, because he's healthy, and just maybe from a decision-making standpoint, you see Noah knowing this thing, he'll get the ball out. He isn't going to think. You're not having to physically remove Adrian because of performance. You can put the backup in, not ruin anyone's confidence, and let Adrian do his thing watching because he got dinged. Let Noah Vedral be the man, run the offense. And how about let's break out a little backyard football. If nothing that's called is working, let's improvise and maybe make some plays. And not turn it over,
yes,
but maybe make some plays.
And I want to dive back into let's go in the time machine here back 2013. Taylor Martinez is hurt.
And
he comes back against Minnesota, plays, turns the ball over, pulls him. Absolutely. He tried to come back and he wanted to come back for the team senior year. I mean, and he was not healthy and he didn't play well. And we got behind late in the game. We couldn't come back.
You guys were up and then lost.
Yeah. And that's the thing is you can't, if you're not healthy, it is so hard to go out there and play. I mean, unless you're 95% or better, it's hard because in the back of your mind, you're constantly thinking about, man, that hurts. Man, this isn't good. Da, 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 da. And when you play a position like quarterback, you don't have the time or the brain capacity to really focus on that. So if you are 80%, I think Noah at 100% is better than Adrian at, call it 80%. Mm-hmm. If he's even there, who knows where he's at percentage-wise. But I think that trotting Noah out there at 100% is better than putting Adrian out there in a compromised position, both injury-wise and both performance-wise.
Guy that needs a big performance and bounce back is Maurice Washington. How's Mo's week been? Here's Coach Frost.
Maurice has had a good week. You know, we need him to be ready to go for a whole game. He's obviously makes us a better team when he's out there, so we need him out there more often.
So, that is good news. Mo is ready to go. Question mark on Spielman. Don't know about Adrian. Pack your defense. Pack your special teams. Pack your run game. Adrian's a big part of that. Jeremiah Searles is in. And Elijah Herbal is in. Chris Schmidt. Daniel House. Gopher Insider next on Hail Varsity.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Let's find out about them Gophers. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, longtime NFLer Jeremiah Searles, and Elijah Herbal. Daniel House is with us, Gopher Insider, founder of Vikings Corner, and does work with the Gopher Hole. Daniel, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Break down the atmosphere this week up in Gopher Land, man. How amped are the faithful of the maroon and gold for this showdown, this moment? I mean, Minnesota's unbeaten, and here comes Nebraska.
Fans are amped up for the game. They've been waiting for Gopher football to provide some excitement for a long time. And after playing well in the first half of the season, now they're looking forward to this matchup against Nebraska, two programs where Scott Frost and PJ Fleck are young coaches with programs that they're trying to build. And Gophers squeaked out some wins early on and found a way to win and then played a solid game against Illinois last week. So they're trending upward, and we'll see how they handle some of the challenges that Nebraska presents specifically on defense.
Last time there was a game of this magnitude, and I know Nebraska is 4-2, and I know Nebraska is not ranked, but, you know, it's a blue blood program. At least we still think so in the state.
Yes.
What's the last time there's been comparable hype for a game like this?
It's been a while in Gopher Land, and the Iowa game in 2016 is probably the last time the Gophers have had this much excitement about a single football game. So the energy will be amped up. The weather is classic Minnesota. It's nice and cold. We should have some wintry mix up here. So that could really play a role in the game, too. Whoever maybe runs the ball a little bit better and stops it could win the game.
Yeah, it's going to be a complete, I think, like run the ball type of game. You guys got an incredible running back up there, averaging over 100 yards a game. What have you seen in this jump from year two to year three in Flex program? I mean, last year they were struggling at times. They looked all right at times. In this first half of the season, what has for you been the biggest jump that you've seen this program take?
Well, they have better depth. They recruited really well. The offensive playmakers have taken this team to the next level. You look at the trio of receivers that they have. They're more physical up front. When he came, he had about four healthy offensive linemen right away in 2017, and that was a really big challenge for him, was trying to build this team an identity where he loves to control the time of possession, run the ball, pick up a lot of first downs, and they weren't able to do that because they didn't have the skill players And now you see what happens with this team. They're more multidimensional offensively. Illinois committed to stopping the pass early last week, then got burned via light boxes in the running game. Then they had to commit to stopping it, so they're committing people to the box, and then Minnesota was killing them with their weapons in the passing game. So they're multidimensional. The defense has more depth in the secondary, which has helped their flexibility up front with the front seven. They're pretty inexperienced on the defensive line, but those guys have been getting better with more reps. And Micah Dutrueway, a transfer from Notre Dame, has played a big role in helping that defensive line room progress.
If you're sitting there and you're a defensive coordinator going against the Gophers, what are you doing first? Are you going like Illinois and saying, okay, we got to take the pass away and hoping our front guys hold up? Or are you saying, man, stop the run and try and just hold with these guys as they try and run by you?
Well, the weather conditions, with that in mind, you're probably trying to stop the run and hoping that the passing game gets slowed down because of the conditions. And that's almost a strategy you have to take. And the Gophers are starting to get their running game going. Early on in the season, they were built upon passing the football and creating explosive plays. But the offensive line was pretty young. They were trying to get some experience together. You're seeing them start to become more cohesive. And Rodney Smith was recovering from an ACL tear that he suffered last year. He's starting to get a little bit more comfortable. They've been mixing in some outside zone to take advantage of the vision and the patience of Rodney Smith, and they have Shannon Brooks, and Muhammad Ibrahim might be back this week. So they have a trio of running backs and a trio of receivers, and Tanner Morgan's been playing really well and getting the football out to the right spot and has been big in clutch situations when the Gophers needed to make plays early on in the season. He was able to do that.
Daniel House with us talking Gopher football at Daniel House NFL is where you follow him on Twitter, founder of Vikings Corner, but also Gopher Hole is where you can read and find out info on the Gophers. He's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Daniel, with Morgan here, and I look at his completion percentage, I look at his touchdown-to-pick ratio, what style of quarterback is he? And I know he came into the second half and sparked things for Minnesota against Nebraska scoring-wise. What type of athlete is he, in your opinion, when it comes to the run game? How big a threat, if at all, is he in the run game element of Minnesota's offense?
In the zone read game, he's not taking the ball a lot. They're running the football with inside and outside zone. He's not a huge threat with his legs, but what he does a really nice job of is getting the ball out in the intermediate game. He doesn't have extreme arm strength going down the field, but as an intermediate passer, he's accurate. He can make the throws when he needs to. He's just an efficient quarterback. He processes well. He's been getting better at getting comfortable with the system, and that's what you notice the most is going through reads and looking off safeties and things like that. Kirk Sciarca has been impressed, the offensive coordinator for the Gophers, at Tanner Morgan's growth just as a processing player and being able to get the ball to the right spot. He's a phenomenal leader. That's the big thing, too. The chemistry of this team with Tanner at the helm, I mean, people forget how successful this guy has been as a quarterback for the Gophers. He's won some big games already, and he has just found a way to lead this team and give them that edge they need in those big moments.
What are some concerns that Minnesota has with the Nebraska offense? And I ask that seriously. Nebraska's offense hasn't been wonderful, but they have some players. They're dinged up. We'll know Saturday at kickoff who's taking snaps. But who are some guys that need big games for Minnesota's defense?
Well, stopping Wandale Robinson is the big key. When I watch Nebraska, I notice right away how dynamic he can be with his versatility. Mills is a really talented running back. If Spielman can play, that adds another layer. We don't know if he'll be available yet. But I look at the Gophers front seven. They have to play another disciplined game. That's been one of the weaknesses early on is discipline, reading keys correctly, maybe getting out of alignments and allowing a couple big plays here and there. But the Gophers, for the most part, they're top 10 in allowing explosive plays, so they haven't allowed many of them. So they'll probably adjust their scheme to try to take away the run early, is my guess. But I really like Vedral. I think he has a nice grasp of the system dating back to UCF, so that's an advantage that they have. And like you can get him some reps now while Martinez is recovering and see what you have, because definitely that familiarity is huge of the system. And PJ Fleck has said all week that he likes what Vedral can do, and they have to be ready for him if he plays too.
I want to go back to the Gophers offense really fast. Rashad Bateman is a dynamic receiver for the Gophers. There's been some rumors of injury troubles for him coming into this Nebraska game. Is there any developments on if he will play or not on Saturday night?
PJ Fleck talked about that. The post on social media, he said there's nothing to that. He was just doing that as a way to show off some fashion. I don't know exactly what he was trying to do, but they said there's nothing to that, and he should be ready to go. But, yeah, you're right. He's totally one of the most dynamic players on that offense. Teams have to account for him. You look early in the Illinois game, they're providing a lot of help, bracketing Bateman occasionally, and that's the thing with this Gophers offense. You bracket Johnson, Bateman, how do you do that? And then you have Chris Ottman-Bell, who's a really great red zone receiver, has the best hands on the team, so they have three legitimate options that you can throw the ball to. So, yeah, Bateman is definitely the guy that's been the breakout candidate that everyone thought would emerge this season.
We're talking Gopher football. Daniel House with us, Gopher Hole and Vikings Corner. And at Daniel House NFL is where you follow him on Twitter. Let's go to the fashion card for 2 seconds, Daniel. There's a video we just saw on social media with Goldie waving a flag in a boat. And there's Fleck, and I'm going to call them mint green spring pants and a very good-looking plaid shirt. I think I had the plaid shirt as I get backhanded by Searles here. How about Fleck and the bravado, the persona? Has it worn at all thin, or is it enhanced because of what's happening in year three?
People are energized about Fleck, and not only that, I believe a lot of it is the impact he's had on the local community through Row the Boat, going to the Children's Hospital, just making an impact on the lives of people in the community. That's where he's been able to really connect with this fan base. And Gopher football has always needed a little bit of an energy injection, someone who is passionate and recruits at a very high level. You look at the numbers from past regimes to now, how well PJ's recruiting, some of the battles that he continues to win, bringing in playmakers and shifting the way that fans view Gopher football. That was the big key when he came in here, and he's found more playmakers. They've become a team that can pass the ball. He develops wide receivers extremely well, and that's a huge part of his system. They've been able to recruit athletes and then develop them. That's the one thing that Gophers offensive coordinator Kirk Sciarca talked about this week, is PJ's ability to find assistants that can develop guys to high levels. And that's been the big key, is they've been able to play with a young team and come together and build the chemistry. And that's just what PJ's really good at, is connecting his players together and then connecting them with Gopher fans and people who support the program.
Quick thought here, about 90 seconds, and Daniel, you've been awesome to join us. Thanks for doing so. When it comes to pass rush and pass protection, how's Minnesota stacked up? And I'm thinking of Carter Coughlin for sure off the edge. And when it comes to protection, how has that been for Minnesota? And I know it's all up in the air based on the weather, how much each team will throw the football. But do you believe Minnesota may have an edge when it comes to their O-line and protection and their defense and pass rush?
Actually, the matchup to watch in this game is the Huskers' D-line versus the Gophers' O-line. I think this is going to be the biggest challenge the Gophers have faced. The physicality of the defensive front for Nebraska is going to present a lot of challenges. Darion Daniels has played really well, and he's someone that really can command a lot of double teams and attention. And the Gophers' offensive line has struggled with stunts early on. They've got better, but I'm expecting Nebraska to be real creative up front to try to cause some communication issues there. And then on the defensive line, Carter Coughlin, yeah, you've got to account for him quite a bit. He's been working on trying to finish his pass rushing moves a little bit. He might not show up in the box score, the sacks, but he's been very disruptive. And Gophers' D-line's getting better, but pass rush needs to continue progressing for sure.
Daniel House with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Daniel, we'll see you Saturday in the press box. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Hey, I appreciate it. See you guys this weekend.
Take care.
See you, buddy.
He was good stuff. That was awesome. Daniel House, NFL's where you follow him. Covers the Gophers, covers the Vikings. A big shout-out to our former producer, Max Baker, who's a Minnesota native, for getting us hooked up with Daniel House. Should we head to the desert?
I think we should.
We're gonna head to
the pride of the desert.
We're gonna head to the desert, pride of Chicago. We have had to flip around the Burke's Best Bets segment, but only for Danny. Danny will have thoughts on Nebraska, Minnesota. What are the guys in Vegas saying? Huge weekend of college football. Danny will tell you where to go with that. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, weather permitting. That means he's in line getting a plain DI stride now. Gary Barnett coming up at 525. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Big Red Wrap-Up Jay Moore. We say hi to the Pride of Chicago. Burke's Best Bets has been fast-forwarded to a 440 time slot, and we say hi to Danny Burke. Danny, how's the desert? It sucks here. It's cold.
How you guys doing? It's pretty nice here. I mean, you know, I kind of like the colder weather a little bit. My Irish skin doesn't fare too well in that sun. So we got about a nice brisk 60 to 65 today. So I'm loving it, Schmitty.
Are you an SPF 30 or SPF 50 guy, Danny?
Oh, you know, if the 50 is available, I have to reach for that, Jeremiah. I can't take any chances.
Well, what type of chances exist this weekend? There's a lot of ball games. You've got A&M hosting Bama. Of course, the Red River rivalry, that is huge. Nebraska-Minnesota. I want to start with Nebraska-Minnesota because that's, you know, that line was up to 8.5. It's down to 7.5. I think Vedral's going to start. I don't know if you see Adrian. Maybe you see Adrian. I don't know. We don't know about Spielman. Weather is going to be brutal, like the planet Hoth bad, perhaps. So go there. Let's start off with Nebraska-Minnesota, Danny. What have your compatriots out in the desert, your buddies that work with you for Brent Musburger, been saying and been thinking? What's the vibe been on Nebraska this week?
You know, to be honest, we haven't heard too much about it. Not too many people have talked about it, but from what I've heard, it's probably going to be Minnesota or nothing. I mean, everyone knows that Nebraska is dealing with these injuries and that they just really haven't been living up to their expectations heading into this season. So the number is very appetizing if you want to go on Nebraska, but I just think those injuries are too costly. I don't have enough faith in Vedral, and with Spielman probably going to be out too. I don't really know what's going to happen offensively for this team that couldn't get it going with those guys in the lineup. So overall, it'll probably be a stay away because I just don't think I could trust Minnesota either. I mean, this team is wildly inconsistent. So if I had to choose, I guess I would have the smallest lean with Nebraska, but to be honest, Schmitty, I'm going to stay away from this one altogether.
Well, and that could be fair. I mean, you look at 7.5, and you get 7.5 points in a bad weather game, and Nebraska will be, we think, good against the Minnesota run. 7.5 points is a gift, just like getting Northwestern in points against Nebraska. That's usually a gift. But, you know, I think this one's going to be tight. I'd be surprised if Nebraska wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nebraska covers. Let's go on to Oklahoma-Texas, Red River Shootout. What are the overs at for that thing? That thing's usually a score fest, and this year may be no different.
I think it's at about 75, somewhere in the 70s. But, yeah, the public loves those overs, especially at those shootout games, because last year went pretty comfortably over that total. So, for me, I know a lot of people are actually loving the public dog here with Texas. But the other side of it, too, is, you know, you're not going to get Oklahoma at this short a number, being at about 11 in the spot, maybe until you're assuming they're going to be playing in the college football playoff if they can keep this unbeaten record up. So maybe a good opportunity to back the Sooners if you trust that offense to keep lighting it up in that defense, which is improved from last year, to do a decent enough job to get the opportunity to cover against Texas. This is probably going to be a stay away. I kind of just want to enjoy this and not really stress about it, but I would probably go with what most of the public is going, and that's the public dog being Tom Herman in the Longhorns, because it is a rivalry game, and most of the times it comes down to the wire.
The spreads have been huge in the past on these games. And it doesn't matter. I mean, look at last year. I mean, Texas got him the first time. OU got him the second time. I think Jalen Hurts will be huge. We're excited. We're going to talk to Barry Switzer tomorrow. And Barry will have some thoughts on both quarterbacks. This is a huge game in Iowa City. Iowa and Penn State. Penn State minus 3.5. Teams from the East don't do well. They don't win outright very often in Kinnick. Penn State was the last team to do it.
Yeah, so Shmi, I mean, you know how it goes. Crazy things happen Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium, like when Ohio State rolled in there. You never know what's going to happen. And this line went up to 4.5, I saw earlier in the week. And I kind of like the Hawkeyes at that spot. And now it's at 3.5, like you said. I still like that hook. It does favor the Hawkeyes as the home underdog. Both of these defenses are phenomenal. I would argue that Penn State is better than Michigan's,
So Nate Stanley's still going to have another test in front of him. He didn't throw a pick until they went against Michigan this past week, and then he had three of them. So if he can do, you know, enough to keep him in the game, I think it should be close. The difference is that Penn State's offense is a little bit better, and I think that is going to be the deciding factor. So I wouldn't be surprised if Iowa covers. I will be surprised if they win the game, though. So I would tend to lean with the Hawkeyes plus 3.5. But I think Penn State should win this one.
Wisconsin, Michigan State, you know, Michigan State threw that pick six to bury them. I don't know if that was a bad beat for you or not. But Sparty's for real. Their front seven's insane. Wisconsin is trying to knock the rust off from a bye week and then a bad performance against an underrated defense in Northwestern. Wisconsin minus 10.5. Too many points, or do you like that just by the hair of your chinny chin chin?
You know, I'd actually kind of side with the Spartans in this one just because we know that Spartans' defense is good. They didn't show it against Ohio State, but this Buckeye team is phenomenal, and they have so many weapons offensively from Fields to Dobbins, the receiving core. Whereas Wisconsin, they're kind of one-dimensional. If they can at least contain Taylor, I think it should be enough to keep them within the number of 10.5. I actually kind of like the under in this game. I know it's low at about 40, I believe. I would still venture out to take a flyer on that just because it's probably going to be another ugly Big Ten game. And even if Wisconsin blows them out and Michigan State's offense is pretty bad, I could see it being, you know, maybe like 35-3 or something like that, something that crazy. But Michigan State should be able to put up at least like 10 like they did against Ohio State. So I would lean with Michigan State taking the points and lean toward the under as well.
Another rivalry game, SC, Notre Dame, minus 10.5, fighting Danny Burks.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, this team just finds a way to screw me all the time, but they're 4-1 against the spread this year. And USC, I believe, is 1-4 against the spread on the road against Notre Dame their last five. I hope I didn't mess that up, but it's some bad number. I was doing it earlier today on the podcast, but I do like Notre Dame laying the 10.5 in this spot. I just think quarterback play favors Notre Dame with Ian Book over Slovis, who is going to be back, and overall talent and coaching should favor the Irish at home in this rivalry matchup.
Let's squeeze in LSU hosting Florida, minus 13.5 for the Tigers.
I think that number is just kind of too high in a sense. I mean, I know this LSU offense is great, but Florida's defense is phenomenal as well. Auburn's offense last week we saw was not that great. Bo Nix couldn't get anything going, but of course that was large in part what Florida's defense was limiting him to be able to do. I think this is another one where I'm going to end up staying away and enjoying it, but the side I was looking at is the under at 55.5. I could see this being a closer game than people envision and not that high scoring because these two defenses are typically pretty good, LSU being, and of course, Florida's is really good this year.
How about Bama? Minus 17 at Jimbo World. A&M. A&M's played at Bama well, better than most the past few years. Does it happen again, or does Saban make a statement on Jimbo?
See, I actually think Jimbo, you know, compared to most coaches, may have somewhat of a little bit more of an upper hand in at least how to play kind of close in this matchup. Mm-hmm. I would take the home underdog in the Aggies in this spot with 17 points at 16.5. I know it was there at some places. I wouldn't touch anything, but if you're giving me 17, which is somewhat of a key number, I would lean with the Aggies in that spot.
Danny, 15 seconds. Give me your lock of the weekend here for Burke's Best Bets.
Ooh, lock of the week. I kind of got two of them. I like Boise State team total over 34.5 and Eastern Michigan this week over Ball State in some action.
There you go. Take care of the mortgage and the tuition. For entertainment purposes only, Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, the Bears. Danny will do a snow angel for you up in Minneapolis, but thanks for the time.
I'm counting on it, and appreciate it, guys.
There he is. We'll wind down hour one on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Danny Burke. Daniel House, very good on the Gophers, Gopher Insider. Elijah Herbal producing today and contributing. Jeremiah Searles in studio, Chris Schmidt. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio. That's me, Chris Schmidt. At Searles71_HSKR. At Herbal Essences for Elijah. On the road tomorrow, we're at the Graduate in Minneapolis, not far from TCF Stadium. Come see us 4 to 6. We are there Saturday, pregame 3 to 5. At the Graduate in Minneapolis, and then Real Red Reaction follows as soon as Nebraska wraps up with Minnesota. We'll be on taking your calls, sharing your tweets, reading your email, and the reaction to what happened Saturday night between Nebraska and Minnesota. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So you have situational football that is extremely important. Minnesota was just 2-for-10 on third down against the Fighting Illini. Against Purdue, Minnesota Golden Gophers 3-for-8.
Yes.
You look at the Minnesota Golden Gopher fourth third down conversion percentage, bro, they rank fifth in the conference, they're top 30 in third down conversions nationally, but they're 5-of-18 in Big Ten play.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they got their 45% overall is an unbelievable number. When you look at third down, and I mean, you talk about it every single week.
Money down.
That's the money down. Who do you go to? Where you look at? And that's where you look at Nebraska. We've struggled. So, I mean, that's a huge thing, especially in a game like this where first downs are going to be a premium. I mean,
in a field position, punting.
I mean, I think back to last year's Michigan State game here in Nebraska, crappy weather, and it came down to who could punt, who could flip the field, who could make the other offense go 90 versus 40. And I think that's going to play a factor in this game, too. If they can keep getting first downs, and I mean, he hit on it earlier when he was talking about the fact that that's PJ Fleck system, first down, eat mm-hmm. the clock. Like, that's something that's going to happen, mm-hmm. and that's something that he really wants to do.
Let's squeeze Bill in here real quick. Bill, thanks for jumping on with us. Hail Varsity, go ahead.
Hey, just a quick question. Last week's game on Lamar Jackson's interception, all the talking heads are crowing about how Honus had pass interference, but wasn't that receiver within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage when he hit him?
I thought he was within that 5-yard rule, yeah. Now, here's the question. It's hands versus de-cleating, and I'm gonna put the dirty end of the stick towards the Northwestern wideout. He should have knew where he was going. I mean, that's going to be the Husker take on it, but I don't know.
I think it was pass interference personally, but I also view it.
You're an offensive guy.
I'm an offensive guy. I loved it, not going to lie to you, but I was like, yep, that probably should have been a flag.
I thought it was a flag just because whenever the ball was out, he hadn't made contact. The ball was in the flight of the path towards receiver, and
where
was Honus hit zone.
Where was Bill? I don't think he was throwing it to that guy, do you?
No.
Yeah.
100%. He was throwing it to him on a slant.
And let's just go, let's go full red glasses here. It had to be tipped, right?
Yeah, I mean, you saw the guy in the back doing the motion of the tip, right?
No, I did not.
I am either.
Bill, it could have been interference, but Nebraska got screwed about three times consecutively call-wise. Thankfully, Northwestern, if you're a Nebraska fan, missed the field goal. Thanks for jumping on with us. Appreciate your call.
Thanks.
All right, yeah. Yeah, the old interference. That's a bluebird. Now, the funniest part is when Travis Fisher was asked about Lamar's interception, he just stopped and said, yeah, he had a lane on the sideline. Hour 2 is coming up.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Perhaps a Gary Barnett sighting if they get de-iced before they head to Quacker Country. We welcome in Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine, and author, Dream Like a Champion. Brandon Vogel and John Cook, Jeremiah Searles, Elijah Herbel, Chris Schmidt, great to be with you. Vogues, you have your ice scraper packed.
I'm not quite ready for de-icing season yet, but it sounds like we're about there. I know Western Nebraska has been in that for a little bit, and headed up to Minnesota. Sounds like we're might get some of that Sunday morning too.
You guys in Western Nebraska, though, you just kind of roll your sleeves up and just kind of nod and say, "Bring it," right? I mean, you Western Nebraska fellas are just tough.
Or weird.
Or weird.
Could be it. You know, you got to go out and break the ice off the cattle trough, make sure they can drink. Then it feels like actual work. Otherwise, you're just kind of watching them roam around. So, yeah, they like that a little bit.
Okay, before we get into some keys, I need to – you're a guy that I respect from a fashion sense. And Searles showed me this video of Goldie and PJ Fleck in a boat in one of the 10,000 lakes rowing. Thumbs up or down on the cool mint pants PJ Fleck was rocking?
I haven't seen them, but I'm going to go ahead and comfortably say thumbs down on that. We're not at a fraternity party at the University of Georgia, are we?
Wow.
So I'll give PJ Fleck this. He put some effort into it. He'll break out the burgundy pants. You know, he's always got the kind of weird shirt tie, athletic hoodie combo on the sidelines. So he put some effort into it. It's just, it's a lot most of the time for me.
It's a lot, but it's also the guy is Fleck in his 40s, probably not yet. But
I think he's 39.
He pulls
his
off,
third 39th birthday. Right, he's that kind of guy.
He pulls off the bald look exquisitely well, and the dude's in shape. I mean, he rows. I know, but he's the guy that's wearing the schmediums and making you look bad because you want to wear a schmedium.
Yeah, and can't fault him for that. He looks like a former wide receiver. So credit to him on that front.
Brandon, I want to stick with the outfits really fast. It seems to be a lot of people are love-hate on PJ Fleck. I love his outfits, personally.
Of course
I think
do.
They're bold and outrageous, and I kind of respect him for that. Do you love his outfits or hate them?
I am not a fan of his outfits, but I like PJ Fleck. Like, I know he's kind of an acquired taste, as you may have just heard from Jeremiah Searles. But, hey, I mean, the guy coaches pretty well. I mean, all the evidence we have on that front. And yeah. I think he's pretty, I don't know. I think there's a worry of some disingenuousness. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, do you buy the hype? Do you really believe that's who he is? Or do you think it's a show? Because I think it's a total act.
Well, I mean, I think to go as far as he goes a lot of time, it has to be at least a portion of a show. But I guess the question is, like, it gets results, or at least it has a Western Michigan, and it looks like things are headed in the right way for Minnesota. So, it's tough. We'd all prefer to feeling like we were being shot straight by a guy, particularly our football coaches. But hey, you know, you got to win. You got to keep those jobs, and what he's doing is working so far.
What happens to the next reporter who asks Scott Frost about the quarterback?
he might get straight shot as well. that was you know, we're kind of we've got this little tango that goes on between the media and Frost every time an injury question comes up, where, you know, sometimes he's a little bit lighthearted about it and says, "Nice try, you know, I'm not going to talk about that," and he gets that, you know, reporters have to ask. But this one was a little bit more direct and to the point today. So
depends on what reporter's asking.
Well, yeah, that's could be true as well. I also think, like, 7 games in a row for a coaching staff that didn't have a bye week last year due to weather, didn't have a bye week the year before due to weather, and not a lot of teams in the country have played every week so far. So it felt a little bit like, you know, not that Nebraska's not ready for this game or anything like that, but the bye week will be welcome next week.
Looking forward to this game, I mean, it's a huge matchup for Minnesota and Nebraska, but I think the key matchup is going to be, can our defensive front seven stop this running game? And so looking at that, looking at the guys like Darian Daniels, Davis, what is going to be the key for these guys to stop it and try and make them one-dimensional with the weather and throw it over their heads? Who are you looking for to step up big on this Nebraska defense on Saturday?
Yeah, Darian's kind of been that guy, you know, twice in Big Ten play now, I think, particularly Illinois and Northwestern. He had really good games. His impact on this defense has been noticeable. You know, this Minnesota offensive line is big. They're really big, but I don't know. It's strange. Minnesota really struggled to run the ball in their first 4 games, and then popped for 6 yards a carry against Illinois. Some of that might have to do with Illinois, but they kept the Illini out of their backfield. And in a game like this where the weather can be a factor, I think that's a big piece of this, because I agree with you. But, you know, if we're playing this game in a dome, I think the primary battle is those Minnesota wide receivers against Nebraska's cornerbacks. But because we're not, because it could be a little bit wet, I do think it comes down to who runs the ball better. And Minnesota did it really well last week. They've got three good backs. But I like Nebraska's front seven. Aside from Daniels, I think Ben Stille has a chance to come up pretty big. He played well last week.
Does Khalil Davis unleash the fury after
legally
being right? after being forced to sit. I love how he has been in the backfield. I like how he's pressured the quarterbacks that he's faced. And also, Searles and I were talking about this when it comes to tackling here, the wideouts and the tight ends. Do you stick your outside backers on the tight ends? Do you ask your linebackers to cover the crossing routes? Or do you find a way to get Doman and Cam Taylor Britt on those guys? Because they are your best tacklers, but they're also your hybrid guys. I mean, put your Coach Chin's hat on here for a moment. What do you do to eliminate the quick throws? Are going to be the quick throws, yes. But if they're going crossing route off some play action or some dump off, some dink and dunk, who do you want in coverage?
Yeah. My guess would be they probably stick with some combination of Doman and Taylor Britt. Jacob Padilla had a great breakdown this week of Nebraska's defensive personnel and how JoJo Doman, with basically a nickel set behind him, is kind of Nebraska's base defense of late. So I think they would probably stay close to that, unless it's just, you know, so windy and wet that the passing game's kind of, you can write it off a little bit. That would be the only thing that changes that for me, but it's pretty tough at this point to take either Cam or JoJo off the field. They're playing too well.
So with flipping back onto the offensive side of the ball here, if Adrian can't go, how much confidence do you have in Noah going out there and running this offense and really being, he needs to be a game manager. He's going to have to make plays when he has to,
yeah.
But how much confidence do you have in him going out there and giving this Huskers team a chance to win?
I feel pretty good about it. And, you know, there's not a ton to go on other than, you know, he's been in this offense for 3 years now. He's a smart guy. And it might be a game that sets up where you don't need that quarterback to do something extraordinary. You just need him to make good decisions. It could be a game where Nebraska's pretty run heavy. And when you do decide to pass, you kind of got to take what's there and what you know you can execute. And I think Noah's set up well to do those sorts of things. I mean, I think he could, you know, in perfect conditions, run this offense plenty well too, but this might actually play to his strengths a little bit. I think it's a big game for Dedrick Mills. If he can get the Huskers something running between the tackles and they can complement that with getting the ball out to kind of their big play guys in Wandale, Maurice, and if JD were available, JD, that seems like kind of a combination for me. And I think Noah can do all those things.
Brandon, within the past couple weeks, it seemed like Nebraska really started opening up the playbook. They had that shuffle pass last week to Wandale, stuff like the triple option. Do you think if Vedral's in at quarterback, Nebraska is still going to be able to open up the playbook?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's still plenty in that thing that they haven't shown a ton of. You know, this could be a game where maybe you do go back under center a little bit more. We'll see how it kind of unfolds. But I think Nebraska has plenty in reserve, and I think Noah's familiarity with all of those things could help in that regard. So we'll see. You know, Nebraska has been pretty good about putting some things on tape, you know, once or twice. So it's in the opposing defensive coordinator's mind. And it could come back at any point, or they might bring out something else totally new. So I never really worry about Nebraska kind of running out of cards to play on that front, and that's pretty fun.
With Nebraska's offense being as tempo, and we haven't seen as much of it this year as you would think, but in a game like this, do you think we don't see hardly any tempo? Do you think when we get our possessions, we know we have to make the most out of them because we don't know when Minnesota's going to give us the ball back? I mean, they've done it to us time and time again, 5 minute, 6 minute, 8 minute drives. Do you think we use tempo as a weapon this game, or do we kind of put tempo away and be like, okay, we're going to take our time, really make sure we're in the right play, really take advantage of each snap that we have?
Yeah, that's a really good one, and it's tough to say. You know, not that everything in this game depends on the weather, but you almost think that with Noah, you know, he certainly should be able to run that thing as fast as they want it. It's kind of the offense he's known for his entire college career, so I don't worry about it on that front. But I think with the way I expect this game to unfold, I expect it to be a little bit more classically Big Ten than it would have been if they were playing in perfect conditions. I would be a little bit surprised if that play count crept way up there for Nebraska. It just doesn't feel like that sort of game to me.
Is this the first of future memorable matchups between Frost and Fleck? And I know we were talking fashion and rowing and the other part of this Twitter fun with Fleck and Goldie rowing in a lake with mint pants on is the contrast. You know, there's Minnesota's head coach rowing the boat, and then you flash over to Nebraska's head coach rowing a boat, and it's a picture of Schwarzenegger just rocked out, you know, rowing the boat. You know, I know things shift from Black Friday to the end of the year being Nebraska Minnesota for a couple of years. I think it's a Saturday game, correct, in the next couple of years, mm-hmm. in 2020 and in 2021. But you know what, Minnesota took their lumps a year ago, got to a bowl, beat Wisconsin after a bad first year, but they got the signature win over Riley in Nebraska. Nebraska's taken their lumps this year with injuries and youth. You build towards that third year. You have two really young head coaches that are pretty well respected, and this is a huge game. I mean, this is big for Minnesota from a credibility standpoint. This is big for Nebraska to, you know, find a way on the road in the Big Ten, Vogel.
Yeah, it's an interesting game and an interesting time. I think Minnesota, you know, they had the most returning production in the Big Ten coming into the year. That's why they got, you know, some, whether it was from the writers or not, from some of the, I guess, preseason power rankings, got a little bit of buzz in the Big Ten West. Like, they were an experienced team. This is their year to go, and they're five games into it, and it's all systems go for them. So I think there's, and I don't think the team feels this, I don't think this impacts the game on Saturday, but I think there's probably a little bit of pressure to maximize on this, because when you have one of those years, usually what follows is a year where you're inexperienced. And, you know, in year four, after you've had potentially a good season, that can stall you out a little bit. Nebraska's season so far feels a little bit like Minnesota last year. Yeah. You know, the Gophers, I think, started out 3-0 or 4-0 and then had that disastrous stretch in the middle where they caught Nebraska and then finished strong. And Nebraska could be similar, you know, if you kind of start playing this thing forward in terms of what they would return for 2020. But we've got a long way to go before we start talking about those things. But it does strike me as a little bit similar.
Brandon Vogel with us. Brandon, only about a minute left, but I just want to ask you, the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy is on the line on Saturday. Some people forget about that trophy. Are you a fan or are you not a fan of that trophy?
Firewood.
I'm a huge fan of it. It's organic. It's way better than any of the other sort of corporately schemed rivalry trophies that Nebraska has come up with so far. Although those matchups probably more naturally lend themselves to a rivalry trophy. But yeah, I was thinking about that earlier today. Like, Nebraska's got to get a win here, so it at least has one of its rivalry trophies. But then I remembered it still has the Nebraska-Missouri bell. Ah. So if nothing else, the Big 12 days live on until someday we get Missouri back on the schedule.
Vogues, can't wait to see you Saturday in Minneapolis. 20 seconds, where are we eating Saturday?
Good question. There's a place in downtown Minneapolis called Beast and Barrel that I've only been to once,
yes.
But I've been longing to...
Searles has now woke back up,
yes.
From spending 2 hours with me.
Been longing to get back to, so that's a good spot.
All right, brother. Brandon Vogel, at Brandon Vogel on Twitter. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Read him. HailVarsity.com. Vogues, we'll see you in the Twin Cities, bud. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're going to have to reschedule our dear friend Gary Barnett, maybe for tomorrow or even a Saturday hit. Get his thoughts on the weekend of college football. I want to remind you about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags usually aren't enough. You want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop that forward motion. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Can email us, chris@hailvarsity.com, and give us a follow on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, @Searles71_HSKR, Elijah Herbal @Herbal Essences. Quick reminder, graduate tomorrow in Minneapolis. If you're going to Nebraska, Minnesota, come by, see us at the graduate. It is just a couple of blocks away from TCF Bank Stadium. So we're right there for Friday, 4 to 6. We're right there Saturday, 3 to 5 for pregame. And me and Searles there for Real Red Reaction. We want your reaction, your thoughts, all that good stuff following Nebraska and Minnesota. The road trip doesn't end. I am going to be on the road at Ameristar Casino Monday, 4 to 6, a live Hail Varsity show. The sports book at Ameristar, it's phenomenal. It's Monday Night Football. It might be time to recover some losses from the weekend, so we invite you up to your friends at Ameristar Casino in Council Bluffs. Be there Monday from 4 to 6. So we hit Minneapolis, we hit Goldie Gopher Land, and then Monday, going to be at Ameristar down at Long Wells on Tuesday ahead of Guns N' Roses. So we're pretty busy. So let's tell you and talk to you about the quarterback that may be taking all of the snaps. No starter declared yet, but our chat with Noah Vedral here on Hail Varsity. A few minutes, Noah Vedral sitting down with us here. We're looking out at Memorial Stadium. Take me through that final drive. Your calmness, your command in the huddle, and how your guys followed.
Our guys did a really great job responding. They did a great job helping me out, being more sound in their assignments, a little more focus. But that last drive, the one where we got the ball to Wandale, started with just a normal inside zone play that didn't really quite get us what we wanted, but Coach Frost called a play that we hadn't necessarily prepared, but that we know very well. And then, again, from what we prepared for, we knew that they were kind of an overlap team, which means their corners are going to kind of steal the hash. So I was expecting that, and they gave it to us. They rolled the three. And then a funny story with that is Friday at practice, I actually had that look and had that play and missed the throw. So me and Bunch ended up staying 25, 30 minutes after practice just repping that throw. So I probably had 20 to 30 balls at full game tempo throws that was the last thing I really worked on our last day of prep, and it kind of showed up on Saturday. So I'm glad Bunchy and I did that work, and it obviously showed up in the game, and Wandale made a great catch. And then really after that was just getting us kind of centered, trying to get us an extra couple of yards for Lane to make his job as easy as we can. And then obviously he made a huge kick and won that game for us.
When you say miss the throw, what did you miss about it? What was off about it?
I just threw it over his head. A little too much air. Got a little too excited. It was a little more open in practice than it was there. So I was like, okay, let's get it out there. But we came back in. We took some air off of it and lined it out. And it was very similar to the throw that I made in the game. It was the one that we were working on.
So you made a tougher throw in the game.
Probably than it was in practice. I mean, they're trying to show you the look and get you to see what you need to see. So they were making sure that I saw the overlap, and then I was a little maybe aggressive with it in practice, and then thinking I could lead him to the end zone. But that one we just needed to get down in the red zone.
So how many game-winning drives have you been a part of? I know Saturday was one when you engineered it to get the walk-off for Lane's field goal. But in your career, you guys practice two-minute situation or go win it, you know, John Elway time.
Yeah.
Take me back through your career, either in a scrimmage or in live action with your high school career. I mean, was that the first or is that one of many?
That was probably the first of that scale. But in high school, I had a chance. Norfolk Catholic was really good the time when I was in high school. And I think it might have been my junior year. We had a little slant flat combo on the 2-yard line that we ended up scoring on and walking off basically with only a few seconds left on the clock. So that was probably like my first real football chance to get a walk off. We had a couple others in high school that maybe not quite as close, more 4-minute offensive type of stuff where we score with 10 minutes, 8 minutes left in the game. A lot more in probably basketball, playing basketball for a long time, lots of drawing up plays. Friends of mine, shout out to my friend Jackson, who I've watched hit numerous game-winning shots that I usually end up assisting on playing point guard. So there's numerous times where we've been in those late-game situations. The best part of it is you're really never thinking. That's the best part is when you practice that like we do with late-game situations. I mean, through camp, we'd had red zone ones. I was super excited if we could get to overtime and just be in the red zone. I felt really good about our game plan in the red zone, and I was confident that if we could get to overtime that we could win this game. Fortunately, we didn't have to go to overtime, but again, like we had numerous situations in practice where we're up against the wall, up against the clock, and we've made it happen before, so we were comfortable in that situation.
How is Coach Frost, Noah Vedral sitting down with us, Hail Varsity Radio, how has Coach Frost made you comfortable and his work, Coach Mario's work, your work, all kind of working together for moments like Saturday and an opportunity ahead if called upon?
No, they do a great job expecting starter level production out of the rest of us, whether it's me, Luke, Bunch, Matt, Braden. They expect us to operate the level of a starter so that if this situation comes up that there's no drop off, there's no need to we got to simplify the playbook or call it more conservative. That no, we're ready to go. We've made the throws in practice, we've all repped it, we've all seen it, we watch lots of tape during the week, but they do a great job simplifying the game plan, even if it is complex, to the point where the quarterbacks feel very comfortable. They can make fast decisions. They can see the things they need to see, streamline that stuff for us. And then obviously anything that I can do, extra tape, asking the questions I need to ask so that when I go in Saturday on every given play, I know exactly what I should do in any situation or any look. And that's the stuff that they do a great job getting to us. And then as a group, I think our quarterback room does a good job asking the questions if we're unsure, and making sure there's no gray area or anywhere that any of us feel uncomfortable.
How'd you celebrate?
I was pretty tired, so I got done talking to you guys here at the stadium, and then got to walk out with Adrian to their car and stuff like that. And I ended up just going home to my apartment. I had my family over, the ones that were in town, so mom, dad, brothers, sisters. An old friend of mine came by, my old basketball trainer. He got to hang out with us for a while. And then they went home around 9, 10 o'clock, and I ended up watching Pac-12 at night until I fell asleep on the couch, just tired, and slept in nice and late on Sunday. Sunday, pretty chill. I really like my Sundays, I'm not gonna lie. I don't like to do is try to stay home as long as I can. I'll go out, gotta go to church. Mm-hmm. Probably gotta get dinner at night because I can't cook. So those are the two times I'll leave the house on Sunday, whether I'm watching NFL or playing some video games with some buddies. And then Sunday night is usually when I watch my tape. That's when I move on and it's time to watch one, our game from Saturday, see what we can improve on, and then I got right into Minnesota and watched a couple hours that night.
What's Minnesota? What sticks out about their defense to you?
They're a lot more confident than last year. Like you can tell, I mean, they're ranked now, so that's going to give them a lot more confidence, and I think confident teams are dangerous teams, and we'll have to be ready and locked in. And for us, we've got a theme going of just one-week seasons. I mean, that's all we can do right now. Our dreams and hopes are resting on one-week seasons. We've got to be good every single week. There's no excuse. There's no letdown. There's no let-up. So they're a good team, though. They've got some good schemes. They're more aggressive than I remember them being, so we'll be ready for it, and we'll be tuned in.
How close, in your opinion, is this offense to clicking like folks saw towards the end of last year?
I think we're close. I really do. I think Husker Nation just hold in there with us. We're getting things worked out. We've got some, again, some more scheme things that we might not have had last year that are going to be really good for us, and we're getting our tempo tuned up again. So we're going to be good. I wouldn't say panic or anything at all yet. Everything's being adjusted and just according to plan. Coach Frost is a great plan, and he knows where we're going, and the team knows where we're going. So we're going to do a better job being even more detailed, even more focused with Minnesota because it matters more, so that we can keep this thing alive.
We'll let you get out of here shortly, and Noah Vedral, kind enough to sit down with us, Hail Varsity Radio. The support and your relationship with Adrian, it looks like, and I'm not in the room, but just from talking to you guys and Coach Mario, there's a lot of great teammates in that quarterback room. Touch on the relationship you and Adrian have, the support you have for one another.
No, Adrian's a really special quarterback. I don't want anyone to ever forget that. And anything I can do in the games, if you'll see us talking and walking off the field together, is just, again, he's a young guy. I'm trying to teach him everything that I've watched, that I've learned from Kenzie, from Coach Frost, from Coach Verdue, all the stuff, even from my uncles, my grandpa, all the tidbits and tips that I mean, he can take them or leave them. I'm not going to take anything personal, but I just always tell him, like, body language, stuff that Coach Verdue preaches. I'm usually, my headset goes to Verdue, so I'm usually telling him something Verdue said during the drive or something he wants Adrian to know. And he does the likewise for me. And then also just the thing of being, like, understanding, like, being like, hey, man, the game's not perfect. We can't expect perfection from a quarterback. I mean, if you watch a quarterback go 40 for 40, 500 yards and 7 touchdowns, I'd say that's a historic performance. So the game's not perfect. It's an open environment. Weird things are going to happen. People are going to take the wrong step, run the wrong route. Defense is going to have an amazing stunt that we didn't see. And just the idea of, like, hey, it's not going to go perfect. Your job is to get close. So I think that always helps calm him down and help him be kind of like, hey, it's okay, we're doing our job, sometimes even when it gets tough. But he did the same for me. He was out of that tent, up on his feet. Every time I came off, he was in my ear telling me things he saw and the things that we were thinking about. So it's super, super supportive. And then obviously, Bunch is an insanely respectable dude. He does a great job, having played in a game last year, of now being really a support guy. But he's, even him, he's ready if we need him. He does a great job practicing, preparing every week.
If called upon to start, are you a guy that can block out the nerves, or do you have kind of a routine you go through to get you ready without having to make too big a deal out of it? It's just another game, but it'd be a cool moment.
It's really the part that always gets me is it's just a big practice. They're wearing different colors. There's more people there. So I think always, honestly, the spring game's always a good kind of just like halfway point between a big practice and a big game. There's a bunch of people, and that's the part that calms me down. I'll be able to block out the noise. I'm not worried about that, because as soon as you get on the field, the only thing that matters really for that time is between those white lines, and the people that you're talking to in your line, your receivers, your running backs, and then the signals. That's all you got to think about. Once you get to that stuff, get to your defense, and we'll be ready to go, though. So I'm not too worried about the noise. I'll be ready.
Timeline, when you'll find out, if you find out?
I don't have one. They don't tell me that stuff. Coach Frost will know that. My job is to prepare like I am. Hopefully he can go, but if not, I'll be ready.
No, thanks for the time, man.
Yep, of course, no problem.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, getting sent from Minnesota. Nebraska Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore with us. Jay Bird, what do you know, man? How are you? You're not on the golf course today, are you? If you are, I mean, you're probably not wearing sleeves either.
No, I am definitely not. I was just telling you, we got on, and, this is some weather I need to, get some things done and get some stuff done around the house a little bit. Your days are numbered coming already this time of year, so when it's decent weather, you try to get out there and hit a few, but it's definitely not out in it, and frankly, I need a few days off anyways.
That's all good. What do you expect Saturday?
I expect a grind. I do. Yeah, I don't know if it's as big as a grind as a Northwestern game. I mean, it potentially could be, with weather. Don't know if Adrian's going to play or not, but it's going to be a tough 4-quarter, 60-minute type football game. You go into this game now not knowing the status of J.D. Spillman, not knowing the status of Adrian Martinez. I mean, hell, you're even hearing about them potentially having a new kicker. I mean, it's just the kicker wheel, merry-go-round just kind of keeps going around and around. Where it stops, no one knows. Who is ever going to kick, we'll see when it comes Saturdays. It's just going to be a game of, you don't ever want to turn over, but in games like this, you definitely cannot turn the football over. So I think Minnesota has the ability to really slow it down and own and kind of make possession. I just think it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one. I predicted, Minnesota gets the win, and they're going to wrap up on a prediction segment. I think I said 24-21, a very close ball game. I think it's, be lower scoring, close ball game. We have some issues still on the offensive. I think defensively, I think Nebraska will be okay. But offensively, I mean, we through six games, this team has really no identity. They're trying different wrinkles, try to spice things up, try to mix it up a little bit, try to get things going. But at times they work, and they look like, okay, that's really nice. But at times, like, whoa, you're still scratching your head, and it's like, man, this is year two in this offense. I know they're young in some spots, but it just just seems like they haven't hit on all cylinders yet through six games.
Jay Moore's with us, co-host Big Red Wrap-Up, joining us here, Hail Varsity Radio, at JayMoore44 on Twitter. You know, you mentioned the quarterback's situation. What do you anticipate? Is this a situation where break in case of emergency, throw Adrian in if you need a rally, or with the weather suspecting to be brutal, do you just ride Noah and let him do his thing? He's calm, he's confident, he knows what to do, and he can also improvise, and maybe more importantly, he'll make a quicker decision. At least he looked like that after a couple, three drives didn't go his way, but he pulled the trigger and found Wandale to get the three ball set up.
Yeah, in this type of situation, I mean, this offense is predicated on, you know, having a QB run game. You don't have a QB back there who's, you know, injured, you know, as Adrian obviously is. And, you know, he doesn't have that burst that you need. And it's you know, teams are already loading up the box against us this year and kind of forcing us to throw it. You know, now that becomes even more the case. You know, they're just going to keep loading it up and try to take the top off. And we just haven't been able to this year. I mean, the wide receivers have been pretty much non-existent. You just can't afford to take that risk. You know, I think it's tougher to play in these type of games with the knee injuries and you know, being the stiffness and not being, you know, feeling 100% comfortable. I think you got to go with Noah. I think you got to go with him and let him. You know, he's going to take all the one snaps. This week in practice. You've prepared him, you know, he's mentally prepared for this. And so I think that's what you go with. I think Noah in this game, again, I mean, obviously if Adrian's healthy and can play and they know that's not going to be an issue, then obviously you play Adrian. But if you're hesitant and he's just not quite right, I think you just don't even put him out there. I think you just go with Noah and know that, you know what, he can. You know, this is his third year in this offense. He's been in this offense more than Adrian has. So I know the staff is comfortable with him as well in the game plan, but let him be able to use his legs, use him in a QB run game, get the intermediate routes going a little bit, we've kind of seen. And then you lean heavily on Mills and Wandale, and then hopefully, you know, if maybe he shows his mind right, and then get him some nice carries in there and let him try to do his thing on the edges. And you know, it's one of those games, and if it's windy and cold, and, you know, it's obviously not going to be very warm being at night, so you're going to rely heavily on your ground game, and, you know, with the wind, you have to kind of keep a little short, intermediate, can't, you know, try to take it up top just because of the wind, and, you know, it's harder to catch those type of balls in the cold, so, you know, let's get a guy in there, a QB in there that can tuck it and run it and get the top form in the numbers game as, you know, in the run game, and run it on your own game. That's just, I think, the way that I would go. I think that's just the way you'll see Nebraska have to go when it comes to Saturday night against Minnesota.
Jay Moore's with us, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, as a teammate, you want to be supportive of a teammate who's struggling, but there's also a point where a guy's got to do his job, and I bring that up with the center spot, and growing pains are growing pains, and the learning curve's very real at center. And the offensive line kind of took it upon themselves. I'm thinking of Coach Austin, your pal, and Farniok saying the O-line's got to do better, but, you know, Farniok's got to make sure that the young pup does his work at center and makes good snaps. What's your tolerance level like that if you're on the team and it continues to go sideways? I mean, it's not fair for Juergens to be so inconsistent to the rest of the team. That said, you want to be able to have a guy work through some things and get really good at it.
It's been an interesting situation, and we talked about this on Tuesday night, is, you know, Cam's ability to work in space, get to the next level, athleticism is really good. But is the risk worth the reward in this situation to where, you know, this offense is obviously so predicated on timing. We have a QB, you know, jumping everywhere and throwing off the mesh point and the timing of a play. And when you're already struggling as a line with getting guys walled off, blocked, et cetera, you need to have your timing's got to be impeccable. It has to be really, really good. And then you can't do it with the snap. It becomes frustrating because that should never be an issue. You know, that's one thing. I mean, that's the most important play of football. for an offense is literally QB center exchange. If you cannot do it, you cannot run a successful offense. And it's hurt Nebraska. And in an offense that's already kind of been stuck in the mud a little this year, then you have that issue. It's tough. It's really tough. And I think his counterparts are getting a little frustrated with it because they obviously want to excel and they know they probably could do a little better. But again, you heard your Coach Austin speak on it and say, you know, when Cam gets tired, his technique gets sloppy, as we all do in football. You get a little tired. And you know you get a little sloppy, and his technique in snapping is a little sloppy. And you know, especially when he's trying to get to the second level quick or pull or whatever it may be, you know, he's moving more. You know, it gets a little sloppy there too. So, you know, he's got to clean it up. You know, you got to work on it. I'm sure he's working on it. Let's be honest. He's not just kind of going out there and going through the motions that way. I'm sure he's driving bonkers some as well. So I know he's working on it and improving it. But it's one of those deals where I wonder if it's, you know, equated to like a golfer. You can stand in the driving range and stripe it, but as soon as he gets on the course and it matters, you know, he struggles a little bit. You know, if that's the same, he probably has no issues in practice. So all of a sudden he gets out in their game and things matter. And, you know, you have a different guy across from you than you're used to on the scout team. And you struggle a little bit. So I'm sure it's a little bit of both. I'm sure guys are just frustrated. And it's, you know, the frustrating thing is this is the seventh game of the season. It's still an issue. You can understand maybe once or, you know, first game, a couple games, but, you know, I know he's young, but it's just, he's still, you know, it's just the seventh game. And he's hopefully needs, you know, can get this figured out. And maybe, you know, would be perfect to have him have, you know, 70-some perfect shotgun snaps against Minnesota. So he can obviously do it, but, you know, Hopefully they'll get it figured out here sooner or later, because, you know, if, you know, this offense will go as far as, you know, getting the timing down and getting those center, QB center exchanges. But like I said, if you can't do that, then this offense will continue to struggle.
Jay, we'll get caught up next week, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Yep, you got it, Smitty. Thanks, buddy.
Thing you need for football season. Grill Out, serve the best sides and deli trays, even catering, all from Super Saver. Super Saver, we sell for less.
In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller with your Capital City forecast. Showers tonight, gradually tapering off to just a little bit of drizzle and perhaps just a touch of freezing drizzle as well. We'll see a low of 31 with gusty northwest winds, sunny Friday with a high of 44. That's the forecast on Lincoln's ESPN. Right now, it's 40.
Score some cash instantly with the ESPN Lincoln Pigskin Payout.
Hey, it's Husker Nick and Chicken King Bill Hooks with your chance to win $1,000 right now.
It's the ESPN Lincoln Pigskin Payout. Just enter this hour's word at ESPNLincoln.com now to win a grand.
Your word for this hour is Packers. P-A-C-K-E-R-S, Packers. Go to ESPNLincoln.com right now.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You know, it's that time of weather. It's football and hot tub time. We say hi to Deb, the spa lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln off Industrial Road in Omaha, spasonline.com. Deb, this weather's not nice unless you got a hot tub from you.
That's right. If you haven't gotten one yet, you're behind the eight ball here. We need to get you going. So our guys have been so busy getting things delivered, getting them in backyards and up and running for that first snowfall. Now, I don't know. I don't know that it's going to hit us this weekend, but it's not far behind. So you need to come in and see us. Let's get a spa in your backyard so you're soaking in it and watching the first snow fly.
You know, whether it's fall or old man winter, you need to get, winterized, right? I mean, part of that upgrade for the house is a hot tub from Deb the Spa Lady. And you got a choice for everybody, don't you?
We really do. Everything from a little two-person that plugs into a 110 outlet up to the big swim spas and everything in between. So come in, tell us what you're looking for, and we'll find it.
Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2 is where you find her in Lincoln off Industrial Road in Omaha, and spasonline.com. Deb, you know, I think of the swim spa and how enormous it is, and I remember taking a picture of you standing inside the swim spa this summer. You know what? It's still an option for folks to exercise. Even if it's crummy outside, you can still get your workout in with the swim spa.
That's right. You don't winterize those. You use them year-round. So they are an exercise, they're relaxation, they're everything year-round.
Deb, when can folks come see you this weekend and beyond?
Okay, we're open 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday.
Deb, you have a great weekend. Thanks for a few minutes.
You too, Chris. Go Big Red.
Always awesome to have Deb, the spa lady, on the show. Home Innovation Spas. Make sure to go check them out. Kind of wanted to know her prediction for the game on Saturday. We didn't get that, but we will be getting to that as a show tomorrow as the show rolls on from the Graduate Hotel in Minneapolis, 4 to 6 tomorrow. Chris and Jeremiah are actually leaving the studio as we talk now. I'm wrapping up the show. They are headed up to Minneapolis to get that show going tomorrow. Again, 4 to 6 from the Graduate tomorrow, and then again, 3 to 5 for the pregame show on Saturday here on ESPN. After that show on Saturday, 3 to 5, we're going to have the game, and then after that is the Real Red Reaction Show, another show you do not want to miss here on ESPN Lincoln, as it's the only real reaction show. What happens, happens. It's live. We like to have some fun on that show. I'll be board operating. Chris and Jeremiah will be hosting that show on Saturday evening. Just a reminder real fast that Chris will, again, be keeping his road trip going on Monday as he is at the Ameristar Casino in Council Bluffs on Monday. That is going to be October 14th, 4 to 6, again, Monday evening, featuring the all-new sportsbook at Ameristar Casino, your exclusive destination for all things sports betting. Your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket to real odds, points, and over-unders. That's right, come on down to Ameristar on Monday and see for yourself. Enjoy comfortable seating, 6 wagering terminals, and 50 HDTVs for viewing the best games, including Monday Night Football. Again, this is Monday night, 4 to 6. Place your bets at the sportsbook at Ameristar Casino Council Bluffs. It's always a good time when you're there. That's it. Wrapping up a Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 4 to 6. You're not going to miss it.